The following program is brought to you in living color.
So, Mr. Swan, now that we sat nice, broke bread together, shared a glass of wine, I feel I know you a little.
Morty, I feel I know you even better.
Good.
It's the Wine Crush, presented by Wines Till Sold Out at WTSO.com. Fine wines, great prices, one at a time. WTSO.com. Now, here's the goddess of the grape, Laura Lawson.
Welcome to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine and were afraid to ask. That's what we are here for. We are your media resource for everything about the cute, adorable, happy to be joining 2013 little grape. And it is my favorite time of year when you start looking at what's going on in harvest. Everybody is stretching their little arms, they're stretching their little legs, and it's all new and up and coming.
Is this the Wine Crush or Romper Room?
It's Romper Room. Don't I need a little mirror where actually, was that Romper Room where you had the mirror and say, I see you?
Yeah, something like
that. Now, you realize we have just alienated half of our audience because they have no idea what Romper Room was and no idea about the woman that held up the mirror and say, I see.
It was a little children's show. And you were just talking about stretching our little arms and the cute little grape and all this other stuff. I just thought it sounded like Romper Room today.
See, exactly. But I guess we should have used Barney references or Disney references or something along those lines.
Yeah.
We'll work on that.
Let's not go back there.
Yeah, let's both of us get actually into the 21st century. So because our grapes are coming of age, today is going to be an interesting show because Kent has begged me to do a show like this on and off. But today is going to be our up-and-coming show. Hopefully the Wine Crush isn't up and coming. I guess we're past up and coming at this point. I think we're gone. But
we're kind of slithering away right
yes.
now.
Yes. But we're going to take a look at the wine business. What is up and coming? You know, we're faced with so many things now that 3 or 4 years ago we called. We said this may work, this may not. So I always like these prediction shows where I look ahead and say not only what I think is coming, but what I think should be coming. And as anyone who follows me on a regular basis knows, if I say it should be coming, then of course that should be the final edict, and all you peasants jump on board. So it will make Kent happy to think back to peasants, and so we are good. So in light of that, today we have Miss Janice McDonald. She is the executive director of the Anderson Valley Wine Growers Association. And this will get a little sticky as we get into today's show, because there are a lot of us who are in the business and in the know that the things I say are commonplace to us. But ultimately, when you look at broad scope, is Anderson up and coming? Absolutely. Has it been around for a long, long time with some amazing sparkling wines? Yes. But I think that's just the key, is I think a lot of people, when they look at Anderson Valley, they think of the sparkling wines. And that's pretty much the end of it. They don't realize the great still wines, the great tradition, everything that goes on in the valley. And so that is the vein that we're going to take on the show today. So before we get there, I am going to do my two wine recommendations. And interestingly enough, if we wound the clock back 10 years, these in a roundabout way would have been seen as up-and-coming recommendations. These would be things that people who recommended would have been on the cutting edge and on the forefront. Your white today is a Pinot Grigio. And 10 years ago, if you had tried to get a glass of Pinot Grigio, you would have pretty much had the option of having Santa Margherita. However, today, outstanding choice, Bellini Pinot Grigio. This is out of Trentino Alto Adige. Of course, it's 100% Pinot Grigio. This thing, see, a lot of Pinot Grigios, I'm not saying they're watered down. I'm not saying they actually put water in them. It's just a lot of times when you encounter a Pinot Grigio that's inexpensive, it's light, it's easy to drink, it goes with everything. But honestly, it's more of those conversation wines. The fact that I can sit here, have a conversation with Kent, drinking a bottle of that Pinot Grigio, and not really notice. I'm not going to converse about the wine. I'm going to focus on my surroundings. That's what I really like about Bellini. Bellini is a food-oriented Pinot Grigio. It has some body to it. It has some structure to it. And of all Pinot Grigios, whether you're doing this with salad, you're doing this with seafood, things off the grill, this is one that really has some complexity. It really has some characters. So you get fruit in it. You get spring flowers. you can actually identify things off the nose on this, and then you get acidity and you get balance. A lot of times you tend to get a little bit of sweetness in Pinot Grigio. I am not a fan of sweetness in Pinot Grigio, so that's why I think this is the best one out there. What I like about it, too, it's inexpensive. And as Kent loves to point out, inexpensive for me is not necessarily inexpensive for somebody else, but you should be able to encounter this charming bottle of wine for under $15 at your local Mega Marts. So keep your eye out for that. 10 years ago, it was up and coming. Now it's a tradition, Bellini Pinot Grigio. My red wine recommendation, of course, is going to be a little bit more difficult to find, but 10 years ago, if you had actually sat down and talked about single vineyard mountain wines, you would have a very hard time, one, at getting your hands on them, but two, being able to afford them. And here is one I think that is an exception to that. Now, granted, it is still expensive, but Mount Veeder, there used to be, you know, if you look in the 70s, there were some great wines coming out of Mount Veeder being the obvious one. But now you're finding people who are enjoying the parcels that the mountain fruit can generate. They are actually finding ways to get up and plant what used to be some very difficult area. So what I am doing is recommending Napa Mountain. This is part of the Highland Estates wines. It's called Highlands Estates, Napa Mountain, Cabernet Sauvignon out of Mount Veeder. And I have to admit, up and coming 10 years ago, people would mention Napa Mountain. And if you weren't in the know, if you didn't know the history of Napa Valley, if you didn't know the background on it, you'd say, oh, the mountain's in Napa, the Maya Camus. No. This was actually Napa Mountain. It was the local name for, of course, Mount Veeder. This thing is absolutely spectacular. It uses Clone 4, Clone 337, so of course it's very dense, it's very well established, and this thing is dark, very, very, very dark. It's inky. Do not spill this on you. You've got your traditional blue and black fruit, you get the cedar, you get the spice. This is great, and it's very, very dense. And I like mountain fruit because it is dense. It's very concentrated. You get a lot of the flavors on the nose, on the palate, or you get a lot of the aromas on the nose. You get a lot of flavors on the palate. And this thing is just lush and luxurious. So for those of you who are looking for a special Cabernet, the Highland Estate Napa Mountain Cabernet Sauvignon out of Mount Veeder is definitely right up your alley. But it is fun to look back and talk about things that were up and coming. I remember 15 years ago, there were all kind of different, oh, the screw cap is never going to make it. Oh, this is ridiculous. It is destined for the dusty bottom shelves. And look at where we are today. So today, that is exactly what we are going to look at. We're going to look at different regions. We're going to look at different closures. We're going to discuss the idea of the fun things coming in this business. And I think what I like most is the idea that I would say 10 or 15 years ago, you could say that the consumer was predictable. You could get an idea about what they were going to drink, what they were going to stick with. Literally, because of the advent of the great internet retailers, the internet itself, people are willing to expand their boundaries. People are willing to try different things. You no longer sit at a dinner table and have some guy with his nose stuck up in the air saying, I only drink Bordeaux, or only Napa Valley Cabernet are the only places to do this. What I like is we have taken the time and the effort and the energy as a worldwide wine program to cultivate wines, number one, in the right climates, number two, in the right regions. We have taken our time to parse the land and to break it apart and say, this approved viticulture area is ideal for Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. Now, granted, we can be a little bit like cattle and say, oh, well, I don't want to have a Zinfandel that's from Russian River Valley. I only drink Pinot Noir. And of course, that will be our next major hurdle. So that is my first up-and-coming prediction for the next 10 years. Is in a roundabout way, we are going to have pigeonholed ourselves into our United States AVAs. When I say AVA, I do mean approved viticultural area. We are going to get so in the habit of saying Walla Walla in Washington State is great for Cabernet and Merlot. We're going to say that Napa Valley is great for Cabernet. We're going to say that Russian River is outstanding for Pinot Noir. We're going to say that Carneris is good just for Chardonnay. We're going to say that Southern California Paso Robles is great for the Rhone varietals, that we're not going to be able to see past our noses on this. That when people come up and say, wow, I have this amazing, dense, luscious, perfect Cabernet from Santa Maria, people are going to look around and say, you have a what? No, I'm sorry, it's supposed to be Pinot. So, number one, The first prediction is that we're going to get ourselves in trouble and we're going to automatically assume an AVA should generate a certain kind of wine. Number two, we're going to spend the next 10 years breaking our habits of looking back at producers, looking back at the small little pockets and microclimates and say, oh, wow, that really is amazing. So, Kent, aren't you impressed? I rarely ever go out on a limb.
That's I like this about you. Daring, predicting things, jumping ahead. You're doing a great job.
Why are you being nice to me?
We have some favors we need later, but we'll talk about that later. That's later stuff.
I can handle that. Well, to help me move through this, we're going to have Ms. Janice McDonald, the Executive Director of Anderson Valley Wine Growers Association, join us right after this small commercial break.
Stay with us for more of The Wine Crush, presented by Wines Till Sold Out at WTSO.com.
As you listen to this, a limited amount of premium wine is being sold up to 70% off with free shipping, and you're missing it. Get to a computer or your smartphone right now and check out Wine Still Sold Out, better known as WTSO.com. It's free to sign up with great wines, great prices, free shipping. You have absolutely nothing to lose. It's 100% guaranteed. As a family-owned business, WTSO prides itself on providing its customers only exceptional wines one at a time until sold out. Visit WTSO.com right now before the deal is gone.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-800-497-9827. 1-800-497-9827. That's 1-800-497-9827. 1-800-497-9827.
So with your Shop Your Way e-coupons, and after redeeming your Shop Your Way rewards points on this purchase, your total is $1,232.
Great. Here you go. And would you please send me an e-receipt?
Sure thing. Thanks and have a great day.
Shop Your Way rewards members earn points on all qualifying purchases and get e-coupons, private sales, and so much more. Get your free membership today at ShopYourWay.com. Subject to full program terms, available at ShopYourWay.com.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking. You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing, you're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now more of Laura Lawson and the Wine Crush. Brought to you by Wine Still Sold Out at WTSO.com.
I'm Laura Lawson. This is the Wine Crush. And right now, to help me, in a sense, figure out what the up-and-coming regions, I still feel condescending saying that, is Miss Janice McDonald. She is Executive Director of the Anderson Valley Wine Growers Association. Janice, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Thank you.
Glad to be here. It is nice to have you. To give you an idea of today's theme, and I apologize in advance, and I promise listeners will be the last time I apologize. Today we are doing the up-and-coming things in the wine business, where we are right now versus where we're going to be 10 years from now. And I know Anderson Valley has been up-and-coming. It is very much part of all of our dialogue, but I still don't think we've made the impact that we need to with the everyday consumer about the amazing things coming out of Anderson. So hopefully, my prediction 10 years from now is Anderson will be synonymous with Carneros, and we will have just such a loyal, wonderful following that you will have been promoted 18 times because you did such an exceptional job.
Thank you.
Well, Janice, I know that you have a lot of interesting things to talk about. There's Pinot Noir festivals. There's some other things coming up. But for our listeners who may not have had the pleasure, tell us a little bit about Anderson Valley and what's going on up there.
Well, Anderson Valley is about maybe 2 hours north of San Francisco. It's a pretty remote, windy road. What's different about us is we're about 15 miles long and about 2 miles wide, and all of our wineries and all of our vineyards are really very tight in one small area here. So we're a very close-knit, collaborative group producing some fantastic Pinot Noirs. We're very close to the ocean, so we get that cool climate air going on. And we are just becoming more and more known for the exceptional Pinot that grows here. And we just finished up our 16th annual Pinot Noir Festival.
Outstanding. See, I think a lot of people, too, and this is for our listeners as well, I think everybody goes to Napa Valley. They enjoy seeing Napa Valley. Well, everything's close. It's not like going to Sonoma or Paso where I have to drive around. People need to focus on Anderson because, it's to me, it's more fun going to Anderson than it is going to Napa.
Yeah, we're a very unique group of very casual, passionate wine growers and winemakers, and very available to the public, always willing to give a good story and talk about our wines.
See, that's, to me, you offer the best of Sonoma and Napa when it comes to people coming to visit wine country. You have the locale you do in Napa, but you have the laid-back farmers, hey, sit down, let's have a drink, let me tell you a story of Sonoma.
Yep, that's us.
Now, forever, Anderson Valley, obviously, we've got to go ahead and talk about the elephant in the room. Everybody thinks Anderson Valley, they think sparkling. And then for the longest time, and for a lot of our listeners, they don't go past the idea of sparkling. Can you give us a brief history on where how Anderson got to where they are today?
Well, actually, the Pinot Noir was planted first before the sparkling houses came in. We grow most of the Pinot in the valley. Most of the Chardonnay grown in the valley now goes into our sparkling production. As we became more and more discovered for the really high-quality Pinot fruit that was growing here, more and more winemakers have come here to either cultivate their own fruit, or people from all over the state, even as far as New Jersey, come to Anderson Valley to buy our fruit. And they're all looking for the Pinot Noir. So we first started planting Pinot Noir here probably in the, it became really widely planted in the early 80s. Before that, we had tried, the people here who started the wine growing were planting other varietals that didn't quite do as well because it doesn't stay hot long enough here. So some years the fruit would ripen, some years it wouldn't ripen. So a group of people discovered, I think it was led by Dr. Ed Meads, discovered that Pinot Noir was really the most suited to the climate that we have here, and it just kind of started a ball rolling. We became our own appellation in 1983, and we have just continued to grow since then.
Now, as you look back on it, give us an idea when you say grow, to give me a rough idea of how many acres were planted in 83, and I mean rough. I hate it when people put me on the spot like this. But are we talking 100% growth, 1,000% growth? How much have you grown since the early 80s?
You know what? I can't tell you what the difference in the numbers are. I know that we've got about 2,500 acres planted now here in the valley. So, but I don't really know how many were planted back then.
I think y'all were doing experiments all the way back because you were doing so many different varietals that as far as viability, you were dealing with just only 900 acres and they were small parcels. Mm-hmm. Sorry, not to cut in. I do occasionally do my homework, which is always nice.
Thank you very much.
I have always been a fan of Anderson Valley. And here's, I think, probably one of the things I think that has benefited y'all the most. As people have gotten used to Anderson Valley and seeing it, I know from my point of view, I can finally go into a local Megamart and I can find a Pinot Noir that says Anderson Valley. If you had challenged me to do that 15 years ago, I would have had to call a friend to send me a bottle.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And even with that, we still have very limited production in the mass market.
Now, when you look at this and we're focusing on Anderson, give me an idea, roughly, who are some of the wineries that come to mind when we say Anderson Valley, and how much has, you know, you've seen that change over the years? Obviously, Ed Meads, we all know the name, at least most of us know the name Ed Meads, but who else? Who are kind of the anchors up in Anderson?
Well, I would say Hush has been here the longest. Hush started right around the same time as Ed Meads and Navarro. They have been long-time growers, and they also produce other wines besides Pinot Noir. They're passionate about growing the cool climate aromatic whites also, which is another one of our favorite wines we grow here. When Roederer came in and purchased the land and started producing the sparkling wines, that was huge. But I believe it was John Scharfenberger who first started planting the Pinot for sparkling production, and he went on to really make us kind of known that way, and I think Roederer came in after John Scharfenberger started here.
I have to admit, when I think of Anderson, the first thing that does come to mind is Scharfenberger. I absolutely love the sparkling. Yeah. I love their wines and what they're doing.
Yeah.
Janice, we're going to have to take a quick break here in a second, but when we return, I definitely want to hear more about the Pinot Noir Festival, and also I want to explore, as Executive Director of the Wine Growers Association, what you see up and coming for Anderson and how you're going to get on the forefront of people's minds. So if you don't mind, we're going to take a break right here, but when we return, I'm going to pick your brain a little bit further on those subjects.
Okay, sure. Thanks.
As you listen to this, a limited amount of premium wine is being sold up to 70% off with free shipping, and you're missing it. Get to a computer or your smartphone right now and check out Wine Still Sold Out, better known as WTSO.com. It's free to sign up with great wines, great prices, free shipping. You have absolutely nothing to lose. It's 100% guaranteed. As a family-owned business, WTSO prides itself on providing its customers only exceptional wines one at a time until sold out. Visit WTSO.com right now before the deal is gone.
So with your Shop Your Way e-coupons, and after redeeming your Shop Your Way rewards points on this purchase, your total is $12.32.
Great. Here you go. And would you please send me an e-receipt?
Sure thing. Thanks and have a great day.
Shop Your Way rewards members earn points on all qualifying purchases and get e-coupons, private sales, and so much more. Get your free membership today at ShopYourWay.com. Subject to full program terms, available at ShopYourWay.com.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
The only thing I didn't learn
is
why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn upon the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Now it's more of the Wine Crush, brought to you by Wines Till Sold Out, WTSO.com.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Right now, we are mid-conversation with Ms. Janice McDonald, the Executive Director of the Anderson Valley Wine Growers Association. Janice, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
All right. Thank you for hanging out. All right. Before we took a small break, I had asked you a couple questions, but let's start with just a description. Let's talk about the Anderson Valley Pinot Noir Festival. You said it was the 16th version of that?
Yes, it was. The festival started as a really small, almost like a barrel tasting, and it has grown leaps and bounds over the years to this year we had a waiting list of wineries wanting to pour. It's what is really unique about this festival, as far as we know, it's the only one in the country that's one single varietal, one single appellation. Only wines that have Anderson Valley on the label, 100% Pinot Noir, are poured at the festival. So we had 44 wineries pouring this year with a waiting list of other people who would like to join us to pour. We just can't fit that many more people into the tent.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. With trying to showcase an Anderson growing by leaps and bounds every year, why are we doing a waiting list? How come we don't let everybody play?
Well, our goal here is to create a really comfortable environment where it's the attendee is able to actually taste the wine, interact with the winemaker, and not be in a mass of people. We want to keep it open and allow our fans to really experience what we have to offer.
Which is brilliant, having gone to several big tastings in New York and a couple that are held there down on the wharf in San Francisco, it is nice not to be among the masses.
Yeah, I think it really sets us apart. You know, we would love, in a way, to be bigger, but it's really who we are. We are... really proud of being a small, intimate group of people.
Okay, I got to ask, are you the person in charge of saying you can come, but you can't come?
Well, it's not that simple. It's really first come, first serve.
Oh, so, just checking. It's always fun to get people's insights and stories on that.
Yeah.
All right, so I assume that when we do the festival, we have people, obviously your winemakers are pulling out all the stops, or pulling out different barrels, or pulling out different lots. Is there a panel? Is there somebody who judges all these Pinots?
Nope, not at all. We welcome all the Pinot producers to pour. So it is not a vetted pouring, is what you would say.
All right. Now, for our listeners, obviously we just missed this year's Pinot Festival. If they want to plan ahead, is there a website? Is there something that will give them more data and more information on what they can do to plan their vacation next year?
Sure. It's avwines.com.
Oh, that's very, very simple and straightforward.
Very simple. And the Pinot Festival is always the third weekend in May.
All right, I'm taking my little notes because I was sitting here thinking, having done all the tastings and seen everything that I have seen, this is something I would be very interested in because it goes back to the theme of today's show. It's cutting edge in the sense that these are great, great wines that you'll never have another opportunity to have a limited setting where you can speak to the winemaker, and you will come out of a tasting like this finding new favorites. There's just no two ways about it.
Oh, absolutely. People absolutely love this event, and it's such a pleasure to hear them leaving and saying, we'll be back, and actually we sell out every year, so people buy their tickets like mad as soon as they go on sale, and they always go on sale the first week in March.
All right, listeners, line it up, plan it out. This is where you need to be, the third weekend of May next year. Now, Janice, as we look ahead, I mean, you are part of the Wine Growers Association, so of course y'all want to encourage tourism. You want to encourage increase in sales and people being aware of Anderson Valley. But what do you see for Anderson Valley in the next 10 years? What's going to be the fulcrum? What's going to make a difference for you?
I think really just getting the word out about the quality of the wines that are being produced here. As I say, I've poured in the tasting room here for many years also. The road is not going to change. There's only so many people that can actually fit on this road and find their way through. So I don't really see a huge influx of tourism here in Anderson Valley. But what we're part of and really glad to be part of is the whole tourism aspect of Mendocino County and see ourselves as just one part and one arm of that tourism. So we encourage people to come to the county, explore all there is to find out about us here, and take trips through the valley, find out about our wines, and then take the wines home with them.
Janice, you do realize that your brethren down in Napa Valley are continuing to say, Highway 29 can only hold so many people.
Really?
You know they keep saying that over and over again and have since about 1985. So right now I would encourage everybody, while it's the undiscovered country, and you don't have to sit and just stare at fence posts while you're waiting in traffic, go now.
Yeah. It is worth the drive, so worth the drive. It is the most beautiful place in California as far as I'm concerned.
Well, of course, we won't hold your bias against you. Now, I want to go back to something you said earlier. Obviously, we understand Anderson Valley Chardonnay. We understand Pinot Noir is the fulcrum. But you had said that you see a lot of cool climate, aromatic whites coming forth. Is
yes.
that something that we're going to see from Anderson Valley? All of a sudden, are we going to see some amazing, you know, besides Chardonnay, we're going to see some Viognier? What are we going to see coming out from you?
We would love that. So Anderson Valley, actually, I believe it was Navarro. The Bennetts moved here originally and planted Gewürztraminer because that was one of their favorite varietals, and this is the absolute perfect environment for the aromatic white. So we have Gewürztraminer planted here, Rieslings. We do a festival in February that celebrates all of the aromatic whites, and we bring in people from all over the world who come here to Anderson Valley to pour their aromatic white wines.
So it's not just Anderson Valley. You can have people from Alsace. You can have people from France.
Absolutely.
You can have people. Oh, that would be outstanding.
Yeah. It is an incredible festival. It's called the International Alsace Varietals Festival,
okay.
And yes, we do bring in people from Alsace and New Zealand, Australia, Germany. People come from the Finger Lakes. That's very popular, the Michigan. So it's really an unusual festival.
Well, it would be. It's a great divergent. So looking at that, you know, besides the Miller Thurgau, besides the fact that I'm sure y'all have some great Grüners, that to me might be the next logical step. Are we seeing some great dessert wines that'll come out of Anderson Valley?
Oh, absolutely. We have some fantastic dessert wines coming out of the valley.
Now, the question is, obviously, it's still, how are we going to market Anderson Valley? What do you see as being the key point in getting people to understand and to know? If you could change one thing or if you could modify one thing about people learning about Anderson, what do you want it to be and what do you want people to take away about Anderson?
That's kind of a hard one. I think that I might say it's how proud we are of being truly unique. That
you're something different, that you're something out there. You know, the first thing I think of is something kind of I opened with Need a Shirt, not just for sparkling anymore.
No, absolutely not. We are so proud of our small farmers. You know, the average size of the vineyard here is only 12 acres. And we actually, when I think of Anderson Valley, I think of us as small family farmers, more than thinking of us as corporate wine growers or producers. So I think that it's part of that whole movement of really hands-on, knowing where your produce comes from, knowing where all your foods come from, understanding the whole process from planting to the final product that you get to drink. I think that's a really good place that you would find here in Anderson Valley.
Now, I think this is great. What's interesting is I remember having a conversation with Alex Sokolblosser up in Oregon maybe 15 years ago or 12 years ago when he started talking just along the same lines as you're speaking now about Dundee Hills and Willamette, mm-hmm. and he said, it's Oregon and Willamette first, and then it's the wineries in our family second. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that's the vibe I'm getting off you, that everybody in Anderson will pull together, they'll grow together, just to see the overall concept of what they have to offer be more out in the market.
Absolutely. We're a really collaborative group. The winemakers here taste each other's wines. They talk to each other about what's going on. We have seminars and educational sessions where we will absolutely get in-depth conversations about what's happening with soils, what's happening with our watershed, how we can improve things, how we can continue to be stewards of the land and produce a fantastic product at the same time.
Well, of course, you say you have worked in tasting rooms. You have done a little bit of everything, obviously, to be executive director. So it's fun to have such an expert on Anderson, having been on the Crush. And hopefully this time next year, I'll have an opportunity to meet you face-to-face along with the rest of our listeners as we check out the Pinot Festival.
We would love that. We invite you to come join us.
All right. Well, Janice, thank you very much for being part of the Crush today. And I look forward to seeing you and hearing more about Anderson Valley in the next 10 years.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here on The Crush. When we return, we will go ahead and take a look at some predictions and some up-and-coming cool things for the wine business in the next 10 years.
We'll have more of The Wine Crush, presented by WTSO.com.
As you listen to this, a limited amount of premium wine is being sold up to 70% off with free shipping, and you're missing it. Get to a computer or your smartphone right now and check out Wine Still Sold Out, better known as WTSO.com. It's free to sign up with great wines, great prices, free shipping. You have absolutely nothing to lose. It's 100% guaranteed. As a family-owned business, WTSO prides itself on providing its customers only exceptional wines one at a time until sold out. Visit WTSO.com right now before the deal is gone.
Hear that? That's an engine running with Z-Max. Z-Max delivers ultimate engine performance you can hear and feel every time you drive. With Z-Max in your tank, you'll experience a smoother running, more powerful, better protected engine. And you'll see big savings from improved gas mileage. Take it from Max. Nothing works like Z-Max. Log on to ZMAX.com today and find the Z-Max retail performance partner near you.
Health insurance is on everybody's mind right now. You either don't have it, or you have it and you think it's too expensive. And you probably feel like you don't have any options. We can help. We are InSphere Insurance Solutions. We offer health insurance plans from major carriers nationwide and likely have a plan that can save you money. Whether you're self-employed, on a COBRA plan that's about to expire, or you simply don't have health insurance where you work and you need it, InSphere Insurance Solutions can help you. Our agents will help you find coverage you can afford. InSphere Insurance Solutions is an authorized agency in all 50 states, including the District of Columbia. Plans may not be available in all states. 800-719-8134. 800-719-8134. 800-719-8134. 800-719-8134.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be.
They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
We're back with more of the Wine Crush, brought to you by Wines Till Sold Out, WTSO.com.
I'm Laura Lawson. This is the Wine Crush, and that was Janice McDonald of the Anderson Valley Wine Growers Association. I have to admit, it brings to mind another prediction. I kind of laugh. 10 years from now, Anderson Valley is still going to be saying, but we don't have the infrastructure for all these tourists, and Napa Valley is still going to be saying the same thing, and poor Sonoma is going to be pulling their hair out, because that's definitely going to be an issue. But my question for you as we move ahead, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think are some predictions? What do you see up and coming? Call me, 877-4CRUSH1, or email me, lauralawson@winecrush.com. Of course, you can always check us out at Facebook on Wine Crush Radio. But since this is about me and my prediction, let's go ahead and take some look at things. Obviously, we discussed Anderson Valley, but I think also you have to include Lake County, Chiles Valley. Now, here's something I haven't talked about. Southern Oregon. I think we're going to start seeing some really cool wines come forth for that region. I think people, when they think Oregon, they think Pinot Gris, they think Pinot Noir. But ultimately, I have tasted some Zinfandels. I have tasted some Syrahs and Cabernets from Southern Oregon that will just knock your socks off. Think Washington State climate and think about the latitude and longitude of what Oregon has to offer, and those are going to be a lot of fun. The Rogue Valley, I think we're going to hear more from, same as Applegate Valley. I think those are going to be the ones that people will look around and say, ooh, what is this? What can I find? What can I do? And how can I get more? But of course, if we talk about Appalachians and what's being grown where, we have to talk about what new varietals. Now, of course, we've discussed the idea of Moscato, and we've discussed the idea of what has really come forth. I mean, think about our poor little white Zinfandel. We joked for years that white Zinfandel got a lot of people in the business. I know it got me into wine. And if you would admit it, they're in your car, they're sitting at home, quietly sneak around, look around the room, and you know that Sutter Home White Zinfandel or Behringer was the first wine you drank. What is going to be the next generation's first wine? And, of course, Moscato has definitely taken the lead to the point where white Zinfandel isn't found on menus anymore. But I think this is my call. We have a whole group of people drinking Moscato right now, and just like all of us graduated from drinking white Zinfandel or Matus or Blue Nun, I think we're going to see a graduation. And because of the success of so many red blends, you see red blends every time you turn around, I think the next really hot thing, not just white blends as a whole, but people are going to get back to Sauvignon Blanc because a lot of the cutting-edge producers are adding Semillon to their Sauvignon Blanc or Sauvignon Muscat. And in doing so, what they're doing is they're cutting that acidity and they're adding just a hint of sweetness. They're adding just a little bit of body, not so much so as you find in the sweeter wines, but enough to take the edge off that Sauvignon Blanc so on that hot 105-degree day, you find it refreshing. All you have to do, look at the success of something like a Conundrum and how it has been steadfast over the years. Look at a Sokol Blosser Evolution. Look at Behringer, what used to be called the Alluvium White. Now it's just their white blend. All these wines with the hint of sweetness just hiding out on wine lists, just like Muscat was a long time ago. These are the wines I think we're going to see explosion on. They're going to be relatively well planted. It's not going to be overly expensive. So I think that will be the new cool thing. There's a lot of them coming out now. Let's just see how they take off. So that's my call. The next true takeoff is going to be Sauvignon Blanc blended with some Semillon. So you find those white blends out there that people, let's face it, Americans have a sweet tooth, and that little hint's going to be enough to bring them back to that lovely Sauvignon Blanc grape. Something else I think we're going to see. Now, look, we are Americans. We are going to drink and eat what we can pronounce. I'm sorry, we're snobby that way. But I know that if I look at something, even though I joke about Southern barely being my first language, if I can't pronounce it, I'm hesitant to mouth it. But despite the fact, there's a lot of great grapes around the world that I don't think we have fully leveraged, especially when you start looking at Spain and you start looking at the grapes that make up Sherry. Now, when you think of Spain as a whole, obviously, we all know Tempranillo, we know Grenache, Albarino, Torrontes. These are wines that I would say most of you are comfortable with. You have seen it, you have encountered it, you may or may not have an idea of what they taste like. But hiding behind all that, you have Monastrell, which is basically Mourvèdre. And I think this is people who are refusing to drink Merlot still. If they can get a Monastrell, get a Mourvèdre, they'll find that soft, inky approachability that has the best of Merlot and Syrah, and they'll fall in love with it. Grenache Blanc. Now, Grenache definitely has a place. We're seeing a lot of Grenache rosés. We see a lot of Grenache period. But just the idea of a white version of this has great acidity, great florality. It is something that Americans would absolutely love, and I could see it taking off. The other dark horse, and this is one I've been staring at for a while. You have consumed a lot of this in your lifetime and you don't know it. Malvasia. Malvasia is a light white. You have had it in a lot of your Italian white wines. You have encountered it blended. You find Malvasia blended into any kind of Italian white almost you could find and name it. But it has never really stood well on its own. This is something somebody is going to come up with an inexpensive Malvasia, but whether it's Marquis Malvasia, whether it's Melodious Malvasia, somebody is going to come out with something about the $6 price point, and we're going to see this great varietal take off. Hey, we're going to take a quick break right here, but when we return, we will give a few more predictions and wrap up today's up-and-coming show.
Stay with us for more of The Wine Crush, presented by Wines Till Sold Out at WTSO.com.
As you listen to this, a limited amount of premium wine is being sold up to 70% off with free shipping, and you're missing it. Get to a computer or your smartphone right now and check out Wine Still Sold Out, better known as WTSO.com. It's free to sign up with great wines, great prices, free shipping. You have absolutely nothing to lose. It's 100% guaranteed. As a family-owned business, WTSO prides itself on providing its customers only exceptional wines one at a time until sold out. Visit WTSO.com right now before the deal is gone.
You've been hearing a lot about Z-Max lately, and you're wondering, what is Z-Max? Z-Max goes into your engine, fuel system, and transmission, and improves performance as it removes harmful deposits, cleans your engine's internal components, reduces engine wear, increases horsepower, and improves gas mileage. Use Z-Max in your new or used car or truck and feel a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. Got it? Get it today. You'll wonder how you ever drove without Z-Max. Available at all major automotive retail stores. Check out Z-Max.com. Z-Max, performance you can feel.
If you are struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-250-4079. 800-250-4079. 800-250-4079. That's 800-250-4079.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master?
Yeah!
Well, stop dreaming and start chomping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the karate glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The karate glove chomps through anything. Just put it on and instantly chomp through wood. Hi-hi! Concrete.
Hi-yah!
Brick walls.
Hi-yah!
Trees.
Hi-yah!
Small cars. It can even chomp through these 8 guitars.
Hi-yah!
It chomps things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Now more of Laura Lawson and the Wine Crush, brought to you by Wines Till Sold Out at WTSO.com.
We have investigated a lot of fun things on the Wine Crush today, of things I think that are up and coming, but I have saved the best one for last. A little vignette, I was speaking with someone today who has the handyman abilities of just a rabid gopher. Absolutely could not find his way out of a bag with a screwdriver if he had to. And he was discussing the fact that he had built a fire pit over the weekend because he saw how to do it on the internet. Now, ultimately, once I got through laughing, I started to think about the ramifications of this, and it kind of leads into, I think, what the last big up-and-coming thing is. I think we are going to find a lot of non-winemaker winemakers. You're seeing restaurant owners, you're seeing master sommeliers, you're seeing wine buyers, you're seeing wholesalers, you're seeing people who don't necessarily have a tie to the land or to farming decide that there's a certain profile and a certain type of wine they want. And as we are dealing with the do-it-myself mentality spurred by the internet, I would say in the next 10 years, we're going to see a lot more really good specific brokered brands. We're going to see people branching out. As much as I joke about Laura Lawson Chardonnay, who knows, one day it's something that I think we're going to see on the forefront and we could actually do. Because ultimately, for every person, there's a palate. For every palate, there's a taste. And just because you can't encounter that doesn't mean you can't make it. It's a running joke that anybody with a phone connection, anyone with a computer can do anything they want to. But ultimately, all you have to do is look around at some of the high-scoring wines on people who thought it would just be fun to grow grapes and know that it's within our grasp. So in the next 10 years, I think you, the consumer, and us are going to take control of the wine business and be able to make what we want, when we want it, and do it our way, because we can. As always here on The Crush, we're reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told. But most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.